Welcome. If you're a woman who has a sense that there's more out there for you, you're in the right place. I'm Whitney Baker, host of the Electric Ideas podcast. Somewhere along the line of work and kids, life carried on, but I lost track of my truth. I'm on a reflective journey, and that's what this podcast is all about. Each week, I interview a woman who is lighting her own path and offering others hope. Before our conversation ends, we'll share a reflective question for you to explore. Sometimes all we need is a jolt, a fresh idea, an aha moment that connects us to a sense of possibility. This, my friends, is what I call an electric idea. Welcome back to Electric Ideas. Today's guest is Dr. Anna Marie Frank. Dr. Frank practices traditional naturopathy and holds a doctorate degree in natural medicine. She is founder of the Happy Whole You Wellness Centers and created a unique brain nutraceutical line. Dr. Frank's passion for wellness has been inspired by her own journey. She has overcome a lot of personal struggles, including with depression and learning difficulties. And this is why she's so committed to advancing brain health. Beyond her degrees, she is also trained with the Gerson Institute, Amen Clinics, Integrative Nutrition Institute, Mind Valley, National Wellness Institute, and the Wellness Council of America. Inspired by her own transformation and what she continues to see work with her clients day to day, she wrote a book called Stop Bullying Yourself. And we have the pleasure of diving into this book today. Before we begin, I just want to say that the more I learn and grow in this space, the deeper my awareness is of the interconnectivity between our bodies and minds and our overall wellness. I see so many women hyper-focused on exercise and nutrition, which are important pillars, but many people completely negate their mental and emotional wellness. I know this conversation with Dr. Anna will inspire you to be aware of how you're talking to yourself and quite possibly how you're holding yourself back. I'm really excited to share it with you. Let's do this. Anna Marie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I want to talk everything bullying today because I had a chance to check out your book. And I want to start by just defining, because I feel like people might have a sense of what inner bully is. But what do you feel like? How would you define that? And what might it look like? Because you work with so many women, what are some common ways it shows up that we're being a little bit more controlled by our inner bully than maybe we'd like to be?
Yeah, so the inner bully is that voice inside your head that tells you you're not good enough, that tells you nobody likes you, that tells you things are not available to you. And I didn't realize that inner bully for quite a while in my life. No matter how many accolades, no matter how many things I achieved in my life, there's a certain point where the inner bully, that voice inside your head, pushes you to do well, to try harder, to go to your full potential. But it becomes the bully when the moment you hit a milestone or do something great in your life, and then it's like, yeah, but you're still not good enough. And that carrot keeps going out further and further and further. And so the inner bully is when ultimately it starts to destruct you. No matter how many successes you've had, it's never good enough. And it's always the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And it's a false narrative.
I want to reflect that back to you because I think that's important to discern, because a lot of us want a little bit of get up and go and motivation and a little bit of accountability, if I will say. But it's unique that it's never enough, seems to be what you're telling me. Is that fair?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, if I were to die tomorrow, I'm actually pretty impressed with what I've done and what I'm leaving on this earth. Yes, there's more that I can do, and I'll be grateful. Well, I'm grateful that I have this moment with you. I'm grateful that I have each moment that's unfolding in front of me. But I think it's getting in gratitude for where you are, where you've come from, and then saying, cool, I'm excited for the road ahead. I'm not trying to run to the road ahead. I'm grateful for these moments. And I think that is a sense of peace I have ever since I have silenced my inner bully. really muffled my inner bully. I don't think it ever goes away, but it's how you choose to respond or react to those thoughts that come through. And as one of my favorite authors says, who we truly are is not that voice inside our head. Who we truly are is the one that is witnessing that voice. And when you process that, for me, it is, I am a soul living in embodiment, witnessing what my physical being is actually doing. And part of that physical being is the neural pathways in your mind that are delivering different messages of programming that was ultimately wired, hardwired in us from our upbringing. But that's not who we truly are, which is like, boom, it's mind blowing. And that's Michael Singer, the author that says that. And he wrote this book called The Untethered Soul and some other amazing books. But when you think about that, when I think about that, it really humbles me and helps me slow down and just go to like, wow, I'm like a soul in a body. It's just what? Like, it's pretty amazing. And so I just feel like that is something that is really powerful. And when I heard that, something within me has changed and I've never been the same since I heard that.
Well, just even having this moment of realization, I mean, you've done a ton of work, but just this moment of realizing that not all of your thoughts are true is going to be seismic for some people, right?
Absolutely.
Something that stood out to me, and you know, it just makes me feel sad because my heart goes out to all of these women, especially because I want to read something you wrote in your book. You said, your inner bully is always waiting. You're especially vulnerable to it when you have self-doubt and when you wish, pray, or hope for something that is not meant to be. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. When we are pushing and pushing and pushing for something that is not unfolding for us, I was a person that pushed. It didn't matter what the signs or what was going on around me, the universe, God telling me, Anna Marie, this is not happening. Oh no, it's happening, right? Because I lived in a space of where I had to control everything. And I remember specifically, there was a relationship that I was in and I was doing everything in my power to make this relationship work. I was considering moving, doing all of these things, and it never came to fruition. And this whole time that I was rearranging my entire life, this person was cheating on me. And in that moment, I was like, whatever, God, like, I hate the world. This is such BS. I just work so hard and like just miserable inside. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, I am so grateful that that happened. I am so grateful. I have my children, my husband. Like, really, Anna Marie, you wanted to be with someone who was cheating on you? I mean, someone who was not authentic, somebody who did not have integrity? Absolutely not. But it's funny how we go through those things in our life where people disrespect us, where people don't have integrity, and yet we make this story up in our head, that bully. Well, yeah, but this person could take care of you. But yeah, who else is going to like you? But yeah, you've already spent this much time with this person. Well, yeah, you're this old and you're just supposed to settle down and shouldn't you be having children by now? I mean, that voice is going to tell you all the things. And so it's when you step back, be the soul witnessing that voice, taking a deep breath, and it gives you this space for you to go out of that worry mind, that limbic mind, and go into your prefrontal cortex and really have executive function thinking. And when you can go here, you can be more in your heart. But when we're living in fear and we're living in worry and we're living in lack and we're living in a space of shame, these heavy low vibrational frequencies are going to drastically not only cause dis-ease in the body, but they are going to lead you in a direction that is not going to be in alignment with your true authentic self because you're not giving space and you are not listening. And I was not listening for a very long time.
What did your own path of identifying and releasing that hold of what's the word? You said you call it bully madness in your book. You have a good sense of humor. I like that. It came through. Because, hey, this is serious work, but if we can treat it with a little light, I think it just makes it more accessible and something that more women can wake up to. So I appreciate that. But one of the things you also talk about is how incredible much power women give away by looking outside of themselves. And that's kind of a bully move. Do you encounter that with women you work with? And if so, do you have any practices that have helped them kind of cease from that and look inside themselves more?
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to when we're looking outside ourselves for whatever. When we're looking outside ourselves, we're looking outside ourselves to gather something that we think will make us feel a certain way. Now, the real win in life, I believe, is what if you allowed yourself to feel the way you think you would feel when, right? You say, well, if I met the guy and we were getting married and I was having the kids because I'm 40, then I would feel X, Y, and Z. Well, sister, back it up. What if you allowed yourself to feel X, Y, and Z right now? Because finding the guy, having the children is not going to fill that void. You have to be good with who you are and where you're at. And all those other things can just add more abundance to your life. But you have to fill your cup first. And that's so important. And we're showing up in relationships, we're showing up in life half empty and wondering why we're tired, wondering why we don't feel good, wondering why we're having reproductive health, autoimmune disease, all of these things that I believe the body creates dis-ease over emotional blockages stored in the body over time that weaken tissue. Our mind, our brain is the strongest pharmacy on planet Earth. So when you're constantly thinking lack, when you're constantly thinking worry, thinking shame, you are going to make yourself ill. And how in the world are you going to show up and live abundantly when you're not good inside? You're not going to. And then you're going to attract those very things that are not good. And I think one of the biggest things to be okay with yourself is like my past that I've had, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and some of it I didn't even talk about in the book. And what's interesting, when I wrote that book, there were some things I was still ashamed to talk about, still ashamed to talk about. And it's like, now I'm like, man, as I'm thinking about writing my second book, I'm like, I have slept with a married man. That's some big stuff. I'm a married woman now and I have two children. And I'm like, wow, I can feel shame in that, but I just feel sad for the girl I used to be. I went and I got breast implants around 22, 23 years old because I thought that would make me pretty. Prettier, more attractive. You know, I've done things in my life that are like, you know, women just don't talk about this. And if I allowed the mistakes I've made in my life to dictate how I feel right now in a low vibrational way, I would not be able to show up in the world and help people. I would not be able to show up in women that are talking to me, telling me that they are being attracted to somebody else and they're in a marriage. Or that their spouse has cheated on them, or that they got an STD, or that they're in so much debt, they don't even know how to tell their spouse. I mean, there are some things that are going on and we need to talk about them. And these things go on when we are not full inside. This is when we go outside ourselves thinking that something out there is going to make us feel okay inside. It's not going to happen. And you're going to end up doing things that are very destructive in your life. And, you know, some of them, I remember I wrote about it in the book when I was in this relationship, a different one than the one where the guy cheated on me. And I was like wishing and praying something would get me out of this relationship because it was a very destructive relationship. And at the time, I didn't realize I had a choice. Sometimes we show up in life thinking we don't have a choice, and we always have a choice. But when we lack confidence and we're not full inside, we think we don't get to make a choice. Life is just happening to us and not for us. And that is really challenging space to be in.
Yeah, there's so many pieces of that I want to circle back to. But what's coming up for me is just the profound practice of forgiveness, not only for other people, but how important that can be for ourselves, you know, forgiving our younger version of ourselves who didn't know better. And I think a lot of people are scared and don't see the point, frankly, of revisiting some of the more painful aspects of their life. As a holistic practitioner, I am curious what your take is on how that impacts not only our mental health, but our physical health.
You know, sometimes I do this visualization with people where they get in some deep breaths and get into a really like grounded state. And then I have them visualize going above their body, going above where they're at. And if they were energy, going down a timeline, like picturing your life as a timeline. Remember when we were in like history class and you had like the timeline in the textbook, right? And that timeline is your life. All of these things that have happened in your life. And so they visualize, I tell them to go down their timeline and look down and tell me the first thing that comes up for them. A lot of times it's something between from when they're born till about 7 years old that comes up for them. And we drop into that moment, and they are who they are now, but they drop into that moment and they go to who they used to be and they have a conversation. And I talk them through as they're sharing with themselves as their younger self and just having a conversation with them and then leaving them with some type of advice, some type of what would you say to you at that age? And they're really with them at that age. It's still within us. Then we float back up, we come back, we do some other things, and then they're back in the room. And what I do is I have them scan their body before we even do this. And usually they're feeling, you know, 1 to 10, how heavy are you feeling? And they'll give a number. And then when we finish this exercise, they usually go down 3, 4, 5 points. Like they're not feeling weighed down anymore. They're not feeling heavy anymore. And it's so interesting because usually that space, that time when they were younger, that's when they implanted some type of narrative that is not true. I'm not good enough. Everybody leaves me. That's not available to me. No matter how hard I try, it's never going to work out. And these false mantras play in the background in our lives and influence and really kind of block us from being who we need to be. But I do think these things happen on purpose because these are lessons that help us grow and evolve as a soul, right? Like, wow, when we can like figure some things out and when we can realize like, I haven't always been right. I haven't always been good. I haven't always been all these things. And that's okay. Because now I know. Now I am choosing. I'm letting go of that past because that's not me, right? We're constantly evolving. Our body is constantly changing and creating anew. And so our lives are like a canvas. You get to paint and choose whatever you want to paint every single day, every single day. And the only reason we have a memory, I believe, is to remember the lessons, not to store the emotions and remember all the emotions involved. So it's like, what would be possible if we let go of the emotion of all the things and just remember the lesson and let that shape our future versus letting those emotions come up and living emotionally into our future? Because if you do that, then you're emotionally showing up in your future in an emotional state that you didn't even like to begin with.
You talked about kind of reconnecting with our inner child, our younger version of ourselves. And I think sometimes I really like how Gabby Bernstein, it's been a long time since I've read her work on this, but talks about trauma with a capital T and trauma with a lowercase t. I think we can all, you know, imagine trauma with a capital T, but I think almost everybody has probably been touched by trauma with a lower T and adopted some of these false mantras. I just want to celebrate you because you're an author and a writer who, as a child, had, and you talk very openly about this in your book, had undiagnosed dyslexia and ADD. So can you talk to us a little bit about how those false mantras played out for you, and then what it took for you to actually have the awareness of how much they were impacting your life as an adult?
Oh, yeah. I know. It's kind of crazy. I was just different, you know, and I was different in a way where I didn't feel smart. I was different in a way where I didn't think I was good enough, which is the narrative that I created because I was different. And my brain just worked differently. And so once in college, I started to realize that, oh, yeah, I kind of like put things backwards. And this is called dyslexia and ADHD. I'm experiencing that. It was pretty interesting because I also now with what I do, it's not like, oh, I have dyslexia. I have ADHD. I experience this. Right? These are, I call them experiences because they're not for me to have and to hold. And me having those experiences, they're not working in the culture where we are brought up. I mean, we're brought up where you sit in a school chair for how many hours of the day? A lot. And that didn't work for me, you know? And so if we lived in a different time or if we lived in a whole completely different way, I think those things wouldn't even be a thing. You know, maybe they wouldn't even be a thing. Maybe it would be a thing if you were too focused. Maybe it would be a thing if you were too straight and narrow. I don't know. Maybe that would be called a diagnosis, or that would be called, you know, you got a stick in your butt. I don't know. But it's just, I have to like laugh at it because it's like, okay, my brain works differently, or my brain works in a way that is not fitting for the culture that I have grown up around. It doesn't mean something is wrong with me. It just means that there are different ways of doing things and I have to be more mindful. I have to double check my work. I have to do these different things because it can get in the way of what's supposed to be right. I've embraced how my brain works, and it's just one of those things that, what do you do? It's just how I am. It's, you know, I don't look at it as a disability or anything like that.
I love that. I love that perspective because it's still an area where people, and I'll add mothers to that list, when somebody is telling me that their child, I'm going to use your word, experiences ADD or ADHD, I can see the discomfort or the shame even come over their face. So how can we just be more open-minded and supportive and make better language choices around talking to people more openly? Because I think some people are just not wanting to say the wrong thing. Is that fair?
Yeah. And more kids are being diagnosed with different things. And I think this is a very slippery slope. I think we're doing a huge disservice. So like my daughter, for example, when she was in kinder, there was a meeting about talking about holding her back and she could have ADD. And I'm sitting there with staff at a school district thinking, one, I know they love my kid, first and foremost. I teachers, they love kids. They wouldn't do what they did. But I'm sitting there thinking, like, this is what happens. We're sitting here saying what a 5 and a 6-year-old are or are not. This is insane to me. This was around the time I was opening up my center, and I had some of this equipment that I had used on myself. And I was like, maybe I should start using this stuff on Garrity. And so what I did is I started using some of the practices on Garrity. And then I started to, you know, look at her nutrition and change a few things around and all that. And she's totally fine, by the way. Her brain just works differently. And she just works differently. And I think, man, had I allowed the school to give her a label like that, what does that do to a person? You know, we want to put everyone in a box. And I'm just sitting here like, from a psychological standpoint, if you're told at 5 or 6 years old that something is wrong with you because you're not like everyone else, that is messed up. It's just crazy to me. So I think that when we label people, one, it can become your excuse. I could easily say, well, you know, I have ADHD, I'm dyslexic, there's no way I can run a company, there's no way I can do this, there's no way I can do that. And I think a lot of people do that. They use their diagnosis to block them from having to do something about it. Just like we allow our past experiences, we sit in a victim mentality around them. And it's like, well, that happened to me, so of course I can't blah, blah, blah. Right. And so I just think, like, I don't know, you know, it's just interesting. I love having these conversations because when we start to think about it, none of us are a victim. We get to choose our life. We get to choose how we feel about things. And there's going to be things we're supposed to, by the way, go through all the ups and downs and all arounds in life. Like, everybody has trauma. And not a single person I've ever met in my life does not have some sort of trauma. And it's not a comparison game of, oh, well, your trauma was this and mine was that, so yours was way more trauma than my trauma. No, doesn't work that way. Everybody's brain is a little bit different and we process things differently, but we all process trauma and we process it at different levels. And so with that, yes, we all have trauma now. So what? What do we do now? Do we sit in that trauma and allow that trauma to constantly influence who we are and what we can and cannot do? Or do we say, yeah, I went through that and that was an experience, and start to breathe and work through that to release it from our body? But a lot of people don't want to do that.
What do you tell patients when they're stuck in that victim mode and they are just obviously in that kind of complain, poor me phase?
You know, what's interesting is a lot of them don't even realize it. So I'll have a conversation with them and I'll repeat back to them what they had just said to me. And they just sit with it for a second. And it's like, they start to have a light bulb go off, because the worst thing we can do for someone is let them sit there and complain and agree with them on everything. I think one of the best things we can do is when they're sitting there and they're complaining about something going on in their life, you know, you can ask, what was that like for you? Where do you go from there? How do you release that? How do you move past that? Versus saying, oh my gosh, yeah, that person is blah, blah, blah. I can't believe they did that to you. And yeah, you should be mad. That is BS. I mean, like, how are we helping each other when we do that? We only repeat certain behavior because we get something out of it. So if you are repeating behavior, victim mindset behavior, like I was, complaining about everything, it was everyone else's fault. I was doing that to justify not doing anything with my life. I was doing that to justify I was wronged. And you should all know that I was wrong. I was wronged. I was wronged. I was wrong. And that's the thing. And what? We all should be up to something. We all should be up to something great. We all should be up to something amazing. And we can't be up to something amazing and great if we are sitting here complaining about our life and being a victim. That's the thing. And that's the thing I believe, like, with our culture, call me a conspiracy theorist, but like, how are people supposed to be up to something great when you are believing the narrative that there's not enough, that there is a scarcity mindset, that you can't do this if, you can only do this when? That, to me, I feel like there's so many people I meet every day. Well, every person I meet every day has so many gifts and so many talents, unlike anyone else ever in the world or nor will ever exist. You had a 1 in 400 trillion chances of being born. You have a better probability of winning the lottery multiple times. And people are unaware of this innate, amazing ability that they have within them, but they were never told, never taught that this is something magical that lives inside them.
I know that's going to be a beautiful wake-up call for many people. I will say, I just, there's one thing. I know we're coming up on time, but there's something I want to touch on that's a little different from what we've covered. And that is just this whole idea that when women, I mean, this is such an empowering conversation, and I know people are going to take it and run with it in whatever way makes sense to them. But one thing that came up a lot in your book is that we compartmentalize areas of our lives. So for example, if we're trying to better ourselves, maybe we'll really focus on our physical bodies is what comes up a lot for women. Yeah. And you talk about how everything, our relationships, our mental health, our emotional health, everything's intertwined. So what message do you want to leave my audience with in that area?
So it's not one thing, it's all the things. And when we are only focused on the weight loss, you're not going to be fully satisfied and happy inside. You know, if you're only focused on every little minuscule of food that you put in your mouth, you're not going to be happy and satisfied inside. And so that's what I call the holistic approach that I spell with a W, the wholeness. And it's just recognizing that there's no such thing as perfect balance in your life. It's just a juggle. We're just juggling things. And it's all the areas of our life that we must be constantly trying to juggle versus saying, oh, I'm only going to focus on these two things. And you miss a lot. So I actually use this thing, this wheel, like when I coach clients, I'll use this wheel. And at the very beginning of our journey together, there's all these little compartments of our life: joy, hobbies, nutrition, physical health. It's in the book. There's an image of it. And so I have them give themselves a score, 1 through 5. Where would you give yourself a score with this? And I actually did this practice when I was doing my master's degree, and it was literally probably the best and one of the only things that I learned from doing that. I feel like all my education is coming from just real life experiences. And I realized I was a workaholic and I had no social life. All I was doing was working. I wasn't giving time to go and do anything. And then at that time, I was also like, nobody likes me. I'm never like, there's no guy for me. I'm never going to get married. Well, I wasn't even creating space for that in my life, but I was sitting there complaining about it, right? We complain about things and yet we're not giving them space. So anyways, you go through, you give yourself a score, then you connect the dots and you realize this wheel, this circle of life that we should have is very like jagged and weird shaped. And so then I just say, okay, we're paying attention to all these areas. And then maybe we have to pay a little more attention to the joy, creating joy every day in your life. How do you do that? And then maybe we need to have more in terms of relationships, social life. Okay, the next time people ask you to go and do something, maybe you say yes. Or maybe you ask other people to do stuff. Like, quit waiting around for people to show up and make your life great and show up and make it great yourself. So yeah, yes,
quit being the victim, right?
Yeah. Right? So I think the wholeness is like, it's very important. You know, if you're just looking for the one thing, you're never going to find the one thing. Doesn't exist. Sorry. That's why people that win the lottery, if they don't have wholeness in their life, they will lose all the money within a few years because they think it's money that's going to make them. Nope. Not going to happen. I used to think the same thing. If only I made this much money. It's really comical.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, you are, you know, you're an expert in the brain too. And I just like when people have done so much work and now you really live and breathe your work, what are one or two things that you wouldn't go more than a day or two without doing that routinely support your own brain and mental health?
Moments of gratitude. Like I will just be driving and I'll be like, thank you, thank you, thank you, God for, and I'll just name whatever it is. And then I say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I talk out loud all the time. Like if you were to like be a fly on the wall, you'd be like, who is she talking to? Well, I'm talking to God. I'm talking to the universe. I'm talking to all the energies around me. And so that is something that is every day, absolutely a must. And then the other thing is showing up in life, helping other people. Not at the expense of myself, by the way. So I've found a balance where I get to live my purpose and I also get to take care of myself, and you can do both at the same time. And it's so wonderful.
Anna Marie, I know we covered a ton of territory and people are going to want to follow you and learn more. Where can we find you?
Yeah. At Happy Whole you on Instagram, and then happywholeyou.com.
This has been so wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm so glad you joined me today. If you're looking for more, feel free to connect with me on Instagram at WhitneyWoman. And if you enjoyed the show, I invite you to support me by leaving a review or sharing it with a friend. Hope you have an inspired day.